than to receive. It is better to give than to receive. We're in the Thanksgiving season right now. And just because it's Thanksgiving season, you don't have to be a turkey. You know, what's really funny, because I watch a lot of, I don't know if anybody can tell, I like to eat. And so when I watch TV, what do I watch? Food programs. I love them. You know, I don't care for their view and all that stuff, because a lot of them, they got stuff to say and it's kind of worldly or whatever. But I love food. I love to cook. I love to eat. Okay. And so I don't know about if anybody else, but turkey is kind of a thing of the past. They're talking about, you know, everybody's making all these different meals. You know, what happened to poor old turkey? And I know we're going to have a turkey, because Pete gave me a turkey fryer last year, so I'm going to get to fry my turkey this year, and I'm excited. But I'm really excited, because we normally have a prime rib with our thing, but this year we're going healthy. We're going to go with a what? A salmon. And so try something a little new. I know every year at Christmas and during the holiday, my mom makes a prime rib. She's not going to do it this year. Because for whatever reason, but she said that every year for the last 15 years, and then all of a sudden we have a prime rib and her famous shrimp scampi and all the fixing, and my mom has an awesome meal for us for Christmas, but she's not having it this year because she hasn't had it for the last 15 years. But anyway, just because it's Thanksgiving, you don't have to be a turkey. We're coming into the greatest season of outreach. And the ability to touch some hearts of those who are asking God if he's really real. I see it on the streets right now, professional homeless people. They become professionals about it. There was no time down and outers. There are some living people that live on the streets. They're just they're eternally down and out. And they're living on this earth. They need kingdom living. That song we sang today, Let Kingdom Come, it's here. If you allow the kingdom living to work in your life. We're teaching on Thursday nights about the keys to the kingdom. How appropriate. And we're in a series right now, so to get out. You can get the first one on CD if you weren't here Thursday. We'll continue this week and the next few weeks of the kings and the kingdom. I taught that a few years ago for some of you, and we've changed it up. The Lord has brought new. It's not the same message, but it's the same idea. When we went through that series 2 years ago, it was 2 years now. I looked at the date. It was over 2 years ago. When we went through that series, we were at a point in our thing of the lowest part of our finances and in our health and in our church. We're really down. After we finished that series, we were at the top of our giving, our finances, and our health in our church. Right after that, within a couple months, you can physically go back and you can look at where we are in our tithes, our giving, in the health, and the prayer request, everything we're changing. Why? Because we were living in kingdom's business and with the keys. And what are the keys to the kingdom? It's God's word. We were living according to God's word and we're allowing God's word to work in our life. Because the enemy is trying to trip us up every day. The enemy's always trying to get us out of kingdom living. He's always trying to open up or close a door in our life that hinders the way that God moves in our life. And God is opening some doors in our lives today. Amen? So, and the ability to touch hearts of those who are asking God if he is really real. People that are on the street are asking God, are you real every day? I tell you what, it's okay. And you know that the enemy's really tricky. He'll give you a really tough time, and then he'll lighten the load. He'll never try to bury you all at once, because it's just not to his benefit. He breaks us down. The enemy wears down at us, wears down at us, wears down at us, and wears down at us. And people on the street and people that don't know God, when you know God, you can find God. But people are asking every day, is God real? Is God really real? Is there a real God, and why would he have me live like this? Why would God want me to be like this? And that's the lie of the devil. God never wants us to be like that. God said, give, and it should be given. Are we ready to enter into the labor fields of the harvest and watch God move as he did with the fish and the loaves? When it came time to feed the people, it's time to put our money where our mouths are. It's time to gather those groceries for those that could use a hand this Thanksgiving as we give dinner boxes next Saturday. And will you do your part? Will you do your part at outreach this time? Will you do this your part in this Thanksgiving season to live according to what God says for us to do? Will we do our part? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for establishing yourself here today. More than that, for being our God. Lord, this morning, have your way in this service and in our hearts. More than that, have your way in the labor, the work that you have for us to be done. Lord, set us apart. Make us different. Not for my fame, not for my glory, but for the glory of God. Be revealed in each one of us as we live our lives through God. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for paying the price. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here this morning, being the teacher. Now, Lord, comfort our hearts and take away all thoughts that are not of God. We bind you, enemy, have no place here. And Lord, we thank you that only your word be established today. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, Acts 20 and 35 says this, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This morning I want to talk about giving and the joy it comes from being a giver. It is more blessed to give than to receive, the Lord said. It was not somebody else said. It wasn't the keeper. It wasn't the bank. It wasn't anybody else. It wasn't his disciples. It was the Lord Jesus Christ himself that instituted that it's better to give than to receive. But everything we hear in society tells us that we deserve everything. Everything we see in life, I tell you, as we go through life, we deserve health care because everybody else has health care. We deserve this, and you deserve something more than somebody else. Everything in life tells us that. The enemy is telling you all the time. I tell you what, there's things that, we become thieves, or we steal things. The only reason why is because we have been told that we deserve something more than somebody else does. That's the way the world thinks. And then it covers it up by telling you, you deserve and we deserve. Does anybody agree that if we really got what we deserve, we would be dead today? If I got what I deserve, I would not be here. I should be gone already. But everything in here tells us that we deserve everything. Again, with the entitlement mentality, and even the successful mentally, you have to be able to get a hold of what you have. Because the rich get richer, and I'm not going to say it. The rich get rich, and we're not going to say it anymore. For one thing, we need to start learning is watch our words, people. We need to start watching our words. I can't afford to give. You start speaking like that and you'll never be able to afford to give. Jesus said, I'm about to be blessed by God that I can give eternally for everyone. I'm about ready to get touched by God so I can bless everybody in this room. Start speaking some words because our words have some power. One of the toughest keys to learn is how to use our words appropriate. Learn how to speak the words of God. When you want to pray over somebody, don't just pray your words, and it's good if you pray the way you pray, but pray the word of God. It's a key. There's a key the way he said things. He said, when you pray, pray like this, the Lord said. But today I tell you, that's not so according to the word of God. It's not what we deserve. It is not what we deserve. It's what God has for us. It's part of the covenants, and we're learning the keys. But today I tell you, that's not according to the word of God. Recently, we have been exploring the gifts of God. And that's why we have been moving as a church and as individuals in such a powerful anointing of his manifested presence. Did anybody feel? Can you feel the presence of God today? Amen. Anthony just wasn't saying something. There's a presence of the Holy Ghost in this room right now. I'll tell you what, he's doing surgery on somebody right now. He's touching your body. He's touching our minds. He's putting a confidence in us. Right now, even as I speak, begin to open the gifts and miracles begin to happen. Begin to speak God's words and the things begin to happen. Why? Because God moves through his word. And his word will not return unto him void. That was his word, not ours. If God speaks something, it accomplishes everything it does. We say this, the centurion said, Lord, send your word and it shall be done. See, we understand something. If we really know God, if we say that, Lord, send your word for this. Not what I say, what you say, and it accomplishes everything he says it will. How many know there's a gift in giving? Come on. How many know there's a curse of not giving? It's called greed. Do we have any greedy people here today? Don't raise your hand. It's like saying you're broke. Well, let's explore the word today and examine where we fit in these categories. Blessed giver or greedy taker. Blessed giver or greedy taker. Whenever you have one, you're going to have just the opposite. The devil is he's a false impersonator, false prophet, false teacher. He's everything false. God is everything. He's the truth. He never fails. We sang a song this morning. God never fails. The devil is a failure. He's a failure. He lost the battle. I open with, you don't have to be a turkey. And that's how the people in the world see us, as foolish sometimes. Doesn't it seem that way when they find out you're a Christian? Oh, you're one of those. Oh, Billy Graham's with us today. Billy Graham's in the meeting. Oh, man, I wish. Come on. Boo, call me. Lord, put that anointing on me. If you want to be foolish, I'll be foolish back a little bit. Oh, man, I receive that. Glory to God. But that's the way the world sees us. They see us as foolish. We're the foolish things. He says in his word, we're the foolish things that confound the wise. They think they're wise, but they're really
foolish.
Stupid. It's in the Bible. Look, stupid's in the Bible. Some being mean, it's in the Bible. Calls people stupid. But here's the thing. The things we do are foolishness to the people of the world. They don't get it. When they see us out at the markets, when they see us out the outreach, they're like, what a waste of time or what a scam. See, they start to think like they think. Wow. I remember, and I've told this in the church before, when my old friends found out that I was a pastor of a church and doing this, they looked at me and they said, dude, that is the best scam you ever did. You have arrived. Are you collecting money for that? Come on. There's foolishness to the things of the world. They see us as foolish, but it's not. It's the righteousness of God. There's a difference of everything. And there's if we're the righteousness, then there's, come on. Because that's how the world is today. What's in it for me attitude? What am I going to get out of it? I counsel couples before and during marriage, and I ask, what do you want to get out of this marriage? I ask them, and every time we do counseling, what do you want out of this marriage? And then I get this, listen. They begin to tell me that they want their man to work and have a job, a good provider. And the man says, I want a woman who takes care of me, takes care of herself, contributes to the house needs. And these are all good stuff. You want to marry somebody that does that. Women, if you can find a husband, make sure he's working before you marry him. It's a good idea. Guys, get a woman that takes care of herself, because if she ain't taking care of herself now, after you're married. This is good stuff. Now, these are good things. These are good things, but I rarely hear this. Listen, I rarely hear this, these words. We just want to fulfill what God wants us to be as a man and a woman. I rarely hear these things. Man, if I did, I would just like, I think I would quit. Like, well, I finished what I'm supposed to do. I'm a pretty good pastor. But we rarely hear that stuff. It's like, what is my job? And no, it's always what I want. And it's okay. You speak those things. I want my husband to be good and have a good job. I want this, that. But we also need to know, as a couple, the reason marriage is instituted of God, it's a work, it's a labor that you are laboring for God. See, God, marriage has to work like this between a man and a woman, that God can be successful. He don't need to be successful for himself. He needs to be successful for the lost. See, if marriage won't work with us, how's it supposed to work in the world? I just want to be a blessing to my mate and give them what I need. They need to be the man or the woman of God. A relationship says that I am willing to put more in than I'm expecting to get out of it. Do you ever hear that? I want to put more in than my mate's gonna. I want to put in more than this and that. Do we hear that? See, a giver says, I'm willing to give more than anybody else can ever give. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for God. See, marriage is not for us, though we enjoy the benefits. Marriage is for God. We're to give in the marriage, not for our family or even them, because God comes first. And if God truly comes first, if the Lord Jesus Christ truly comes first in your life, then you should be giving to God first more than anything else. Amen. Greed says, well, I'm not going to do it because she won't do that. I'm not giving to them kids because brah, 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 brah. That's greed. Well, I need my money for my fishing trip so they ain't getting their shoes. Come on. Sound familiar? I get to, that scenario is every day. I need them, man. I'm sick of I give to them. I do this. No. A giver gives to God and everything is taken care of. Listen to this. If I take care of my God, my marriage is taken care of, my kids are taken care of, and my needs are met. Amen. If the devil says, you give them come first, all of a sudden everything is lost and you have nothing. There's blessings in giving and cursing in greed. I'm willing to put more in than I am expecting to get out of it. Did you know if you entered into a relationship, business venture, or occupation with the intent of giving all that you got to be a blessing, you would prosper beyond whatever you could imagine because of your faith in God. If you took on a job that the Lord told you to take, and it had no benefits, it had nothing, but God told you to take, and you know the Lord put you in that job, do you know that you would be the most prosperous person in that occupation, relationship, or business that you could ever be? Because God honors his word. He honors it. It might look like nothing. And then if you say, I am entrusting in God here, I am going to do this unto God, he finds a way to open every door. You might come into the lowest point or the lowest position in that job eventually because of who you are as a Christian and how you are seen by everybody else and the way that you produce by even your bosses or business, and you're going to eventually either be the owner of that business or at a very high seating position. Why? Because you're a godly person, you're trustworthy, you're on time, you're everything else, you don't steal the stationery. Amen. Come on. Mark 4:24 says this. Then he said to them, take heed to what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And if you hear, who more will hear, and you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has to him, more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. If you're a person of faith, trusting in God, more will be given. Are you hearing me? But if you're a person of greed, you will never be satisfied, and more will be taken. Giving is a gift. It's a spiritual gift. There's a spiritual gift in giving. It's a spiritual. Trust me, the devil's never going to tell you, go give that guy $20. Only if that guy's a scam artist and he needs some drugs or something, maybe. But God in a blessing will never tell you to give ever, ever. The enemy will never do it. So when God's saying to give something, you know that it's coming spiritually right from heaven. Bless somebody, do something, take care of something, help with the load. Friday night we're teaching on spiritual, and then the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, talking about that unmerited love of God. And we were talking about the giving and how it is so important that we help each other through the tough times. If you help somebody through their tough time, as soon as you hit a rocky area, they're going to help carry you. Or somebody else will. It is so important to take up each other's burdens, to bury one. Galatians 6:7 says, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in such a manner, meaning the manner of the word of God. Restore them as the Lord would restore them. Those that are spiritual, he's saying, why? Because you're sowing goodwill into God. Amen. Giving is a gift. It's a spiritual gift. Jesus is a giver. And Jesus is our example. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 6 says this, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap also sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Have you ever noticed a person that gives a lot of themselves, they have overwhelming joy? Somebody that's just blessing somebody all the time, doing something, man, you can't get them down. You know, sometimes you see somebody and you can just tell like something happened and you're like, who did that? And you know how you tell them, no, I'm not going to say nothing. Just look who's smiling. Come on. Who did that for me? Why'd they do that? Oh, that was awesome. Why? Because joy comes from giving. A cheerful giver. Have you ever noticed when someone gives cheerfully, they have God, a lot of God love in them. Givers are always happy. Why? Because they have found that place where everything they do is unto God. When you're a giver, everything you're doing, it's so hard to give to my wife when she just hid my boots so I couldn't go to church. Hid them under the bed, under the dog's blanket, right on my side where I sleep. It's hard to give to somebody like that. But if I'm giving unto God to get up and get her a cup of coffee, even though she lost my boots, I'm giving, I've still got joy. See, the boots ain't going to bother me because I'm not doing it under her. I'm doing it under God. I'm not getting something. I'm not coming here. Josh is not getting here 2 hours early, waking me up so I can unlock the door to give him the coffee. Thank you, Josh. And but he's not coming here for that. He's coming because he's giving unto God that we have an awesome service. Guys, Anthony the same way. Everybody's here. Ray and Margie late last night. Guys, the meeting. It was awesome. But why are they doing that? For them? No. They're givers of themselves. Come on. Why do they do the things they do? For selfish ambitions? No, unto the Lord. Ask yourself today, am I a giver or am I a taker? It's sincere. Ask yourself. Psalms 104 says this, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with what? Praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. We need to be thankful. Do you know when you're down and you want to complain, start thinking about what God has done for you. You know what? So often we enter into God. Well, Lord, I need that. We don't enter into his presence like that. The Bible says here in Psalm, enter his courts, come into his presence with thanksgiving. Oh, Lord, thank you for what you do for me. Thank you, God, that, Lord, you brought me out of all that addiction and that other mess that I was in. Thank you for delivering me from being in jail. Thank you for delivering me from all just the bondages of my life. Thank you, Lord, for what you do. Man, he just opens his ear. But when we start coming in there complaining to God, oh, Lord, that woman you gave me, that was his first mistake. A giver gives thanks during worship. A giver gives thanks during worship. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, you're awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Enter his gates with praise. When we come in here to worship, if you're worshiping like this, and you bring life into this in me, there's nothing about you. If God was my mom, he'd have a switch. We do that. Listen to me. I'm not coming because I don't like to worship. You're in a dangerous, 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 dangerous place. You enter his courts with praise. Oh, a giver gives thanks during worship. A taker says, I don't care for the worship. And it's distracted during and is distracting during worship. Worship isn't for us, it's for him. Amen. How about in our prayer time? Listen, how about in our prayer times? Are we a taker? Are we greedy? Are we blessed? Are we in joy? Do you have joy? Listen. How about in your prayer times? Philippians 4 and 6 says this. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be in a hurry. Oh, Lord, I need it now. I can really use it now because I want to play some football later, or I want to play some golf later, or I want to do something or go to the movies. I need to get it done. Lord, he says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious like, Lord, I'm ready. Enter in. Take time with God. In your prayer time, are you? I got him guilty. I like to eat. Lord, thank you for this food and make it good. And take a sip. Let's go. He says, be anxious for nothing. In your prayer, when you be anxious, like, Lord, wait on him. We need to wait on God. Anybody hearing me this morning? Listen, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So there's a process here. We're not just to run into God. Hurry up, God, man, I need it right now. No, Lord, what do you need of me? What do I bring to you first? First, this, I praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Begin your prayer with this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all you do. Lord, pray that I wish your perfect will be done. There's no anxiety on asking God to let him do what he wants to do. There ain't anxiousness there. Amen? And then with all supplication, saying, Lord, I trust in you. That means whatever he supplies, you're good with all supplication. Lord, whatever you ask of me, with everything he wants to do, and then with what? Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. However you're going to do it, I trust in you. Come on. Listen, a giver thanks God for what he's doing, and a taker always is asking and not thankful what they have. Colossians 4:2 says this, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. If you don't think you're greedy, where are you at your tithing and your giving? Well, I'm not a greedy person. Then where are you with your tithing and giving? How many believe that tithing is no longer of God? Good. Okay, so we're all in agreement then. Where are you with your tithing? And just ask him. It's important because you need to get the scriptures. Do you think you're greedy? You are. Where are you tithing on? Look at this, Malachi. You got to bring it up. He's talking about giving today. Amen. Malachi 3:8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." The priest ain't talking about this. This is the words of God right here. Our Lord Jesus, through his prophet, talking about the church. He wasn't talking about the world. He wasn't talking about the government. He was talking about us, the people of God. Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have I robbed you, man? In your tithes and offering. Oh, I give my tithes every week. I do. I bust it out. I get it out. I shine it. As a matter of fact, I iron it. So it's easy to count. I'm not making fun here. But as God's speaking to your heart today, he's saying he's cutting away some chains. I'm trying to get you into the greatest blessings of your life. I'm giving you the keys. Listen up. In what way have you robbed me in tithes and offerings? You are accursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. He's talking to the people of God. Is being greedy a curse? Yes. Yes. If God asks you, if I ask you, and most of you in this room, if I said, hey, can you give me $5? All of you would give me $5. Yet you trust me. Yet when God speaks to our heart and says, give me, do we not trust God? I know all of you. I know all of you would just in a heartbeat. Because you know I'm trustworthy. And I'm a liar. The Bible says every man is a liar. I can. I make mistakes. I tell fish stories. Yet God asks us every week and every day. He speaks to our hearts. Give, I want to give you. See, when I tell you, give me the $5, I'm most likely give you $5 back. But God says, I want to bless you. And he's greater than I am. Amen. I told you, greed is a curse. As a pastor, I can honestly say I don't have to see the tithe reports. I can almost tell by the joy in your giving, but it's not up to me. You're not tithing to me. I can tell where you are financially sometimes. Not all the time. Because some people hold it really good. They should be poker professionals. But they're giving. They don't need the thing. The Bible says if I go over and, sister, here's my $5. You wish I had $5. I know. And I gave her the $5 and all of you saw it. Then I got my reward. Right. Look at Pastor Dennis. But the Bible says what I do in secret, he rewards. I'd rather get a reward from God. I really would. I'd rather do things in secret. So those poker players, you're in glory, man. You got blessings in heaven. Be quiet about it. Just smile. Come on. It's true. If you're not, then you're robbing God, not the church. And you're not robbing. You're robbing. Listen to this. You're not robbing the church. You're robbing yourselves. Have you ever noticed It's not how much you have to give. Well, that matters. It's not how much you have to give. It's just the giving is so hard sometimes. And you know what? I understand. We have families. We have everything that says I can't. But you don't know how powerful your God is. We need to understand who is asking for it again. He's asking so he can bless you. God doesn't need or want to make you poor. God is not trying to make us poor. He's trying to bring us into the blessings of God. Giving is a blessing. It's sowing into the kingdom. It's investing greater than any stock market. It's the best investing greater than anything in this world. For he is no longer of this world. We are no longer of this world. We're only here to occupy for a time to bring more into the kingdom of God. But listen to me. He's greater than any stock market. He's greater than any 401 plan. I'll tell you what, God never fails. You show me one person. You tell me one person that God has failed. And it's because not that God has left them, but they have left God. But anybody that's ever trusted in God, I know I learned from my mom. I tell you what, right off the bat I learned. My first thing I learned as a Christian was to give. I gave everything I had and kept 10% and gave everything I had from the very first time. God has never failed. Listen, Mark 12 and 41 says this. Now Jesus sat opposite of the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury and how many were rich put much in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites. Which makes a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put more in than all those that who have given in the treasury, for they have all put of their abundance. But she out of her poverty, come on, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. More than anybody else. It was less, some of us throw it in like, I got it. Boom, I got it. I did God right. Boom, I'm proud of it. Boom, giving God what it is. But this woman said, out of what I have, I give you all. Oh, come on, Mom. God doesn't want to make you poor by taking your money. He's trying to deliver you from your poverty with the understanding, listen to this, with the understanding of obedience and the gift of giving. He's trying to get to you. He's trying to bless to you. He don't want your money unless you understand it, because then you're just throwing the money and get it today. We got to understand something. Nowhere else in the Bible does it say, try this. He knows how weak we are in this area. He said, try me in this area. Show that I don't bless you. I'm ready to pour out to you. We're in the giving season. We're in the best time right now. This is the time that people need to see that God is real. People are asking God, are you real? They're asking God every day. They don't see him like we see him. They don't feel him in their hearts. We do. We should be hearing from God. He's saying, give. Listen. Luke 6 and 38 says this, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will he put into your bosom. For of the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Can anybody lend me $5 today? What happened? Now it's only God? I ain't going to get a dime out of it? Come on. Givers never have to justify why they don't give. Did you hear me?
That's right.
I give my time to God. Well, you probably find that you have a lot more time. Isn't that true? I buy everybody lunch. And look how fat I got from it because I'm blessed. People are always taking me to eat. They're always buying. My wife says, let somebody else choose. I am now. I'm letting them. I take them to McDonald's. I let them take me to the steak joint. I sow in my time. I give more time. I don't give my finances. What does the word of God say? All she gave of all she had. She didn't designate, well, I'm a giver of this, and I don't give money, but I give this. All means out of every area in your life. Well, I want God to bless my job site. Well, I'll tell you what. You might have a good job, but you're going to be in traffic every day. Because you should have said it all. Well, I want God to bless you on my drive time. Man, I ask for favor. I tell you what, I'm a tither. My mom told me, tell God you're a tither. I go in the mall at Christmas. I'm lying because I will not go. She has to do all the shopping. I will not go to the mall. That's like the place of, yeah, never mind. But anyway, when I pull in, listen, whenever I go to lunch, when we leave here, I say, as soon as I leave here, Lord, give me favor where I'm going to eat. And don't you know it, I'll pull up and people are like waiting and I'll pull up and a car will pull right out and I pull right in. I have favor. I allow God to work in all of my life, not in just the things that I want God to work in. See, God wants to be in 100% of your life, not just 10% of your life. He wants to be in your time. He wants to give you the time to go to the ball games, to the championships. He wants to give you times to handle the work. He wants to give you times to be in church. He wants to give you time. So if you're given your time, you're going to find that you have time. If you give in your finances, you're going to be financially better. He's a giver. He says here, whatever is given measured back to you. Galatians 6 and 7 says this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, he shall also reap. For he who sows in the flesh will reap in the flesh corruption, but he who sows in the spirit will reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Anxiety. Am I giving, expecting right back? Remember when we go to God, he don't want us going like that. Where's the faith in it? Lord, I spent $16.22 this week, and I only got $8.27 back. What happened? Are we going to have to go to God, Jesus? That's the way we act sometimes. But not out of necessity, he also said, in our giving. Have faith in God. It'll come right when you need it. Amen. Come on. You never have to justify your actions when it comes to God. If when it comes to giving, all you have to do is do it for God. Where is your joy this morning? Is there evidence of divine joy? Do you know what I'm asking right now? If you're not happy, but if you're living in the joy and the peace of God, when you give, the only thing that matters is the blessing it brings to others and the joy of the Lord that is shown. Why are we giving? We're a giving church. I've seen it already. We're talking about things coming up in the next few weeks here. Amen. Where's the evidence of divine joy? Nehemiah 8:10 said this. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send or give portions to those whom are not prepared for this day to the Lord. Do not sorrow, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't know which one that was. So did you get the right one? Yeah, okay, good. You're good, Margie. Praise God. I didn't put the right book on there. John 16 and 23 says this, and the day, listen, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Listen, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I said to you, whatever you ask in my Father, in my name I will give to you. Until now you have nothing, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. See, God's asking us, where's your joy right now? Are you in church today and you don't have God's joy? What is going on? What is in the presence? What has you bound today that you don't have the peace and joy of God? This is the season of joy. Joy, and it's not the world's joy. It's not the joy of that you're going to get a good gift or electric car or anything like that. It's the joy of God. Where is your joy today? Are you here today and you're like, oh, this is really sounding good, but I'm mad. I got no joy. Where is your joy today? And more than that, where is your love for God that he's in joy or showing God's joy? Are you a giver or a taker? No one can judge you but yourself. I'm going to close with this. That's not a good time to say amen. Proverbs 30 and 15. The leech has two daughters. Give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four never say enough. Are we continually asking of God in our prayers? Are we giving God what he is asking of us? Are we always asking God for what we need? And are we given the same time to asking God what he needs? Giving is for God. It isn't for us, though it benefits us. We think, I'm giving because I want to get something for God. Giving isn't for us. But he's so good, and he's such a good God, he gives us when we give. But it's not for us. But far too often, we're doing more asking from God what we need than what he does. 1 Thessalonians, I said like my wife, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's stand this morning. Glory to God. Let's stand. Praise God.